My boss left. I probably ought not put that up there because it's involves other people.
That's fair. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Alston Coburn. Today is February 23rd, 2019. I will be interviewing Scott Coburn about his time as a student at East Carolina University. So first, could you please introduce yourself and tell us when and where you were born?
I'm Scott Coburn, and I was born in 1956 in Sewickley, Pennsylvania, which is right near Pittsburgh, actually. But I never lived there. Only my mother worked there was the thing. She worked at the hospital. We actually lived in Ohio, in Salem, Ohio. So that's where I grew up.
Okay.
Small town across the border. Stayed there till I graduated college, pretty much. That would have been 1978. Then I wasted a year and stayed there through 1979. And then I went to Texas.
Okay.
And went to Rice University. Got a job in the biochem department as a technician, research technician, too. And stayed there for a couple of years.
And then after that, you...
Then I left town just for a change and came to North Carolina on my way to Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And made the mistake of stopping at my parents' place, and I ended up staying there for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And went rock climbing with my brother every day and worked a little bit as a substitute teacher.
Okay.
Just to keep nickels in my pocket. And then I got a job at East Carolina University. They were advertising for the medical school. And I replied to an ad in the newspaper and had an interview with a couple of guys in the biochem department who said, "No, you don't want to work for us. You want to work for this guy over in microbiology. We're going to set you up an interview." And so I came back the next week and interviewed with Dr. Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
And he hired me on the spot, within minutes, actually, because I knew how to do everything they were doing. They found out real fast. I was interviewing with his, he took me over to the lab, and his grad student, Walker Russell, was there. And got talking to both of them. But then I mentioned this guy named Bob Wells at the University of Alabama School of Dentistry. Well, that, it turns out, is a guy where my advisor, Dr. Mueller, got his doctorate, was under Bob Wells. And I had to do the techniques that came out of Wells' lab. And I mentioned that, and they were like, "What? This is the guy we need." So Mueller left me with Walker and said, "You guys talk," and, you know, and then Walker's supposed to tell him what he thought of me. And so he left us alone for the rest of the day, and we got along famously and got to meet the other guy in the lab, Martin Romanchuk from Finland. And I liked him too. We got along real well, so I went home with him that evening and we had some beer and went to the Rathskeller and all that. And I was hired. Started the next day.
And so what was your position?
Research technician, too.
In microbiology?
Yeah, it was a microbiology
okay.
department. We were still on campus at that point. We were still in the biology department.
Okay.
But actually, we were a separate department, but we were kind of in the same space as the bio people. And we were waiting on the Brody building
okay.
to be finished. And we didn't wait very long. Within a couple of months, I was a moving man.
Okay.
Quite literally. So we moved everything. Got a station wagon and loaded up most of it ourselves, to be honest. Because we didn't trust the movers with a lot of our equipment.
Right.
Hauled it all out to Brody. Set up everything. We went from one little tiny space to three or four great big spaces. I mean, we got... We were the premier lab in the flagship department at that point. We were the molecular biologists, and we were bringing all this new technology into the medical school that didn't exist previous to that. So we got whatever we wanted. In fact, we usually got two of them. So we were treated pretty well. We were that's the best equipped place I've ever been. Period. I mean, I've been to Duke and Rice and a lot of other places, and I've never seen any place that was as well set up as this was. Marvelous place.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so what So did you go to school there as well?
At that point, you could take classes for free if you worked there.
But you already had your PhD.
No. I only had a BA.
Okay.
I graduated from Hiram College. I probably never mentioned that.
Right.
I went to Wilmington College for 2 years. I took general education stuff, politics and music. And I left there and I went to Hiram College, where I graduated from. I got serious at that point.
Right.
Finished up the biology degree.
And then you were just working at Rice. You weren't going to school there.
No, I was just a...
Okay.
Yeah, I was a research technician. I sat in on a molecular biology class there.
Mm-hmm.
It really felt out of place. Mm-hmm. You know, wasn't following what was going on.
Right.
And just quit going. So I went like once or twice.
Okay.
And I didn't pay any more attention to that. I just took care of business in the lab. So,
which years did you work at ECU?
I didn't work there very long. I showed up in 1970. No, that would have been 81, probably.
Okay.
Thereabouts. And I actually worked there for only about a year and a half.
Okay.
And during that period, though, I took a class.
Mm-hmm.
Every semester. Or even the summer, I guess. But I finished up about half the coursework for the doctorate.
Okay.
For free. Just as a, you know, I'll just go to class with everybody else. And trying to think if Walker was a student at that point. I guess he was a master's student. We still had him. I think he was getting a master's degree. He was finishing up at that point. Martine was still there. He was a postdoc. And so I just go to class with these guys.
Right.
And took, I don't know what I was taking at that point. Anyway, decided to stay, applied, set up my advisory committee, and went around and talked to everybody first, see if they were going to let me in. I was kind of curious if they were going to let me in, because my college grades weren't all that exciting. But they'd seen what I'd been doing the past year and a half, and all the new technology I'd brought to the department. And said, of course, we'll take him in a flash. So at that point, I became a student. That would have been the start of summer semester.
Okay.
83-ish,
maybe?
Let's see. Eric was born in 84. I might be off on my years. Shortly after he was born, that's when I quit my job. So I might, I might be a year off on all that, but I started grad school in 85.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Officially.
So you were then working on your PhD in microbiology as well.
Yeah, I stayed in the same lab.
Right.
Same place, same people.
Right.
My advisor was the guy I was working for before, and I added some people to my graduate committee who I'd known pretty much all along, although there was one new guy I added, Dr. Stellwag, who's now in the biology department, last I knew. I added him when he came, and Tom Butkey when he came. He came around from University of Mississippi, I think. I'm not sure, but I added him to my committee, too.
So then your classes, were they mostly over in that same, near the Brody School, that same part?
All my classes were in Brody Building, except I had to... My GRE showed that I was a little deficient in mathematics, so they made me take trigonometry and calculus. So I went to campus for that. Is that all? Yeah, that's all I took on campus. Everything else was in the Brody Building. Some of our classes were just with the medical students, too, like medical microbiology. We sat in, you know, their lectures. Other than that, we had our own classes, yeah, but we'd meet in the conference room or whatever.
So then did you get to see the Brody School grow a lot while you were there?
Oh, yeah, sure did.
Like new buildings?
New people. I mean, it was all brand new, everything. When we were there, Brody was the only building. None of those other buildings were out there. The hospital was there, and they'd added the Brody off to the side.
Was it still Pitt Memorial?
Yeah, it's Pitt Memorial Hospital. But there was nothing else around there. It was just tobacco fields and soybeans. I mean, literally. All those other buildings weren't there, all those doctor's offices and all that stuff in that part of town, none of it was there. They were just starting to build the houses on Arlington Boulevard for the faculty. And now that's turned into, you know, a massive subdivision, I guess. But right. No, none of that was there. Greenville is still a small town.
So. Where yeah. were you living?
I lived on 4th Street with Walker and Martine and his wife, Ilva.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple other people in there, Jay Stone and a couple others. I can't remember their name anymore. And they fell away one by one by one.
Right.
And then I moved in with Yvonne, and Walker was kind of left stuck with a house. Martine had gone back to Helsinki. So Walker was stuck with a house. So what did he do?
Where did you move?
Actually, he left. He left shortly after that.
Yeah.
He finished his master's and went to back home to Jacksonville, and that's the last I ever heard of him.
When you moved in with Yvonne, who's your wife now,
yep.
Where did you all live?
Way out in the country.
McGowan's
okay. Crossroads.
Okay.
McGowan's Crossroads, you can find it on the map still. Between McGowan's and what's the other one?
Was that because it was more economical to live out further?
Yeah. Yeah. I liked the place she had. She had a nice farmhouse, and it's in the middle of nowhere. It's $50 a month.
Right.
Yeah, it was nice.
Okay.
We lived on a huge spread of land out there. It wasn't that far. It's a 15-minute ride.
Are there other things that you remember about campus during that time? I know you said you spent a lot of time over in the health
Didn't
sciences
spend
part.
Didn't spend much time on campus, honestly.
The main part, yeah.
You know, once we left the, whatever the biology building was, I don't even remember the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't go there much anymore. Had almost nothing to do with campus.
Were there any, I mean, you probably didn't have time, but were there any groups you were involved with while you were in school there? I guess it could
be
some
graduate students, no.
Yeah. I mean, any, like, student groups?
No, I didn't
or
do anything like that.
Like, biology club?
No.
Or?
Well, we had our own thing. We had journal club, you know.
What does that mean?
That's every week somebody gives a speech on some paper they've pulled out of the literature, usually, where you can talk about your own stuff.
Journal club?
Uh-huh. And that was every week. And all the students were in that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we let medical students come. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we'd invite them.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, no, I wasn't involved in any. I took a wellness class for a while. As we'd meet after work. That's while I was still working. We'd meet after work and go running.
Okay.
So I did that for about a year. I'd go run, I know, 5 miles every day, something like that.
Were there places in town that you remember hanging out, spending time, that you went for relaxation? Or
my first day at work, Paul Fletcher came and got me and his technicians, and John Worthington was there, and Carolyn Jones was there, and I don't remember. All the old folks in the department, Mason Smith. These are the old guys, not the new guys. And they took me down to the Rathskeller, bought me beer, met Bland Simpson, met Lightning Wells, or not Lightning Wells, Lightning Wells, and had a good time. And that became my regular hangout. And so
That was a restaurant as well as a bar?
No, it was just a bar.
It was a bar, okay.
Did
they have
bar.
Music there?
Mm-hmm. Sure did, most weekends, yep, sure did. Yeah, you get regional acts come through. David Allen Coe, I've seen play there.
Yes.
Mostly it was local bands, but there'd always be something on probably two nights on the weekend. And we'd drop in during the week, too, since my buddy Richard lived right down the street, so we were kind of regulars.
Mm-hmm.
Because he drank in those days. And actually, I was drinking at that point a little bit, which is kind of new for me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I went many, many years without drinking at all. In college, I didn't drink.
Right.
But I did for a while there. And then when I moved out of town, though, I stopped drinking again.
Right.
And really wasn't seen much in town anymore and kind of fell out of the social scene
mm-hmm.
once I moved out in the country.
Right.
So I didn't hang out as much with the grad students either, to tell you the truth. I did during the daytime, but
mm-hmm.
I missed a lot of nighttime activities and cocktail parties. And
you were doing a lot of other things.
You know, I had a kid, too. So
right.
You know, had a 1-year-old, so And then there's a lot of study that's involved with getting a doctorate, so that's right. What you do at night. You sit there and read textbooks and make notes, endless notes, over and over, and you drill all this stuff into your head. Biochem's a real pain, you know, if you never took it. You have to memorize all these pathways and where every proton and electron goes and the enzymes and all that stuff. You know, you have to memorize all that. So yeah. I spent a lot of time at home at that point. Typically, I'd go in. I could do most of my lab work. I was pretty good at it. I was real good at multitasking, so I'd get most of my lab work done by 2 or 3 in the afternoon and have it set up, so I didn't need to do anything till the next day or late at night. So I'd leave. If I was doing something, I was there, and if I didn't, I'd leave, and I'd go home, and I'd get the books. So you might find me up there anytime. You find me there every day from, like, 9 to 2, but beyond that, it's hard to say. I might be back at midnight. I'd be there every weekend. I'd be there twice, or at least twice every weekend. Mm-hmm. It was nonstop till I finished.
Right.
5 years later, whatever.
Yeah. Do you remember when you were there, any, like, big events in town or on campus, but people coming, or
we had,
I don't know,
few,
maybe a
number
a
of scientific
or
meetings.
Yeah,
we had a National Institutes of Science meeting there. It was actually sponsored by the Elijah Mitchell Society. You can look him up.
Mm-hmm.
But that was actually a National Academy of Sciences meeting, so it was a big deal for ECU. So a lot of people came from all over for that. I was driving out to the airport, picking people up, bringing them back, giving their speech, and I was the chauffeur at that point. That might have been before I started school, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember any hurricanes. We had a tornado. It was a tornado that killed a number of the neighbors, yeah. Yeah, it ran from Aiden to Simpson. I saw it, actually. Across right in front of our house. I was standing out on the front porch watching it as it's ripping across the field, across the street, you know, a quarter mile away. It damn near blew me off the porch.
So that was 83, 4, or 5?
83.
Because it was before Eric was born?
Yeah. And then it went down to Simpson and went up in the air and jumped over the river and disappeared.
Interesting.
But you'd get down to Simpson and see houses with, you know, like, the whole front of the house is gone, and the rest of it's fine. And everything in the house is sitting there just like, you know,
like
sitting
a doll
on the
house.
Table like it's supposed to be. You know? But then my buddy John's house was utterly destroyed. Completely destroyed.
Hmm.
So, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of smaller tornadoes there, too, but that was the big one. Lost the roof on the shed one time, little F1. Watched that one too. Came tearing across the yard, went over to my shed and ripped the roof off and kept going.
Mm.
We stumbled into one out in the swamp one day too. We heard something coming through the trees, like a giant elephant stomping through the trees, and thought, my God, what is going on? Woods just snapping and stuff flying everywhere, and look up, little F1 ripping the treetops. And so we started heading for the car, and that's when the rain came. And we almost didn't get out of there. Those roads turned to mud instantly.
Yeah. Do you remember any flooding?
No. We couldn't flood at our place.
I mean, just in town with the Tar River.
Not when I was there. Not till after I left.
Right.
The Tar rose pretty badly in one summer hurricane, but I was gone by then.
Right.
But I did see it. Knew a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't tell you when that was, or
right.
Which hurricane it was.
Right. Okay. Well, so then what so you finished up your degree there, and did you stay in the area for a little while?
Nope, left.
Or you moved?
Real quick.
Okay.
Yep. Well, actually, we'd gotten evicted from the farmhouse because the owner's daughter needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I don't know, a few months before I graduated. So we moved to whatever that little town was, Highway 43.
Grimesland?
Yeah, moved to Grimesland. And we lived there for a few months, maybe less than a year. And then the day I graduated, the day I defended my thesis, we'll put it that way, I went home, Then we moved, packed the van up, moved to Bear Grass.
Okay. Okay.
And that's the end of my ECU experiences, really.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, we didn't stay in Bear Grass long.
Okay.
She stayed there. Those two stayed there almost a year, I guess. But I got a job in RTP pretty quickly, so I moved up here. Stayed with her Uncle Bill and went to work. And I finally found a rental, and then they came up later.
Okay.
So that's how we got here.
Well, thank you very much for sharing all of that with me.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you.